Hello, I'm happy that I can be here and that you're here. I want to talk about open accessibility in the hope that free and open source software, at least free and open source software, will be a low barrier in the future. I brought 3 points. So first we will talk about the non-availability of the current status, and then we'll talk about what we're actually talking about with the term open accessibility, and then the most important part, what are means of improvement, where can we attack this legally or with other means. So we start with the deficiencies. So currently the understanding is often that we need this for websites, at least a little bit. And there are some descriptions like how these techniques work, so we might need overlays, and then often people think, oh, this is only important for websites of public offices and not for the rest. So kind of similar to how accessibility is in the physical world is often associated with schools only. In the digital world, people often think we're talking about websites only, and this is a problem. So I want to talk and emphasize that all software should be low barrier. So every kind of desktop software system is included. Every form of online communication and collaboration, so, and every IT system at all, so also an ITM or so, yes, ITMs especially are a problem for visually impaired people. Everything with touch interfaces or motor disabilities, and who are just not fast enough or precise enough to use them, have problems with it, and this is often forgotten. So again, often we only talk about websites, and for me it is decisive that we talk about all of them.
So I want to return to the point of this technical lacks or issues, because it's often not thought about. So for me, for example, I am able to speak, but I can't hear, so I am in need of a DOM translator. So the usual video conference tool is coordinated by a speaker. So the camera picture changes to the person who's speaking automatically. That doesn't help me, because I have to see the translator. So the problem is not that it's like this, but that is fought in this way. Everybody thinks that everybody's able to hear. That makes sense. So it's absolutely reasonable that the camera switches to the speaker. Every new system that is offered as a camera integrated system, camera speaker system, is always offered to be so great because it moves towards the speaker. And that's the same for online systems. And second point doesn't also concern me, but also concerns massively people with a visual impairment or blind people. I can only listen with my eyes. So I have to look at the translator. If I also have to read a chat or look at the screen or see if there's a change of speaker, which I might not be able to hear, of course, the translator will sign that to me, but I want to see it for myself. I don't. I only have two eyes. So a similar problem exists for blind people who have to take this in via audio. They only get not only get the talk, the audio of the people talking, the chat, and maybe if they didn't exclude it, they also get a reading of the program. So also warning signals, etc. And there as well, the whole program is thought in a way as if all people were able to hear, to see, and to move. And the third thing, a very basic problem we can also see here is that the assumed translator is very, very diffused. The technische Priorisierung, ja, wenn die Leitung zu schwach ist, muss natürlich der Ton. Der Ton ist das Wichtigste. If the transmission is too weak, then we only have the audio and we don't have any image, which is horrible for me because I need the image. So for me, this example of video conference tool shows that behind these things of changing of speakers, multimodality, or technical restriction, assumed technical restriction, there is a certain mindset, which is a mindset where assumed normal people are the center. Or put in the center. So on one hand, many impairments and their requirements towards the system are not taken care of, are not considered. So that's just a matter of fact. I don't want to tell the story of how it is done here. If you're working with a translator, who, and many of the impairments are just not known. Nobody as an individual person could be blamed for that. But then again, you also would know the needs of these impaired people. And that especially accounts for invisible impairments and disabilities, especially those going towards neurodiversity and others. And what is also not considered usually, also not in standards, is diversity. And what I'm talking about is that different people with different needs and different disabilities have to work with one tool. So in our institute, for example, we have people with different disabilities as scientific employees and who want to work together and have to work together. And there are people like me who have to see the translators. And for other people, that is already too busy. And for them, it would be helpful to just ignore the translator. And what I want to stress here are the conflicting situation, which is not taken care of by standards, but you only always take one disability into your view. And of course, it's difficult to consider all, usually. And from my point of view, usability means to also include conflicting requirements, however you can do this. And third point is, third lack is when thinking, when going from a normal person, is that everyday participation is not considered. Many people think that people with a disability, well, they get auxiliary aids, auxiliary means, and that's it, that's fine. However, many people with impairment have typical positions in jobs. That's just not taken care of and simply ignored, and thus not considered that certain barriers or needs of accessibility are important for every computer program. For example, there is a video conference system which is has extra been developed by a school, as far as I know, which has specific tiles just for sign language translators. But, well, that's no use for me because nobody uses that. And, of course, I don't find anybody who can implement that for me. So everyday participation is not really taken care of.
And another point, this is not my special field, so I'll keep it short. So often when designing software and systems, and not only video conference systems, we often think from the technical requirements. So that's what I wanted to show with the image of the sign interpreter that is not prioritized in the transmission. We often have the priority audio, slides, then video image. And yeah, that makes it difficult for accessibility needs. Of course, this leads to a very high complexity when we want to prioritize this with different needs in mind. And we have to deal with a lot of restrictions and inflexibilities in different system. So these are fundamental flaws of these systems. So this is the problem, but complaining doesn't help much. So the question is, we also have this question in one of our research projects, how can free and open source software be more accessible? What do open source communities need to improve accessibility? What do they really need and how do we get there? This research project that I've mentioned, we've been working on it for 3 years. It focuses a lot on workplace software, especially in public administration. So that's just background information. And so we've been thinking about this for a while, and we have some, questionnaires, and we have identified 5 main points to improve things. So the names are not self-explanatory, maybe, but I want to explain it. We have individual, direct, legal, technical content and community. So the individual approach. So the individual approach is to to work on sensibility, so to just explain this topic to more people. So, but what you've seen again and again, especially as I get older, it's not enough if we have individual persons, people fighting for it. We need competent people, for example, for UX and different technical issues. But when they have the knowledge, often then they don't have the power to change these things. So we've heard from several communities that we've spoken to. What is indispensable is the what we call direct approach, when people with disabilities and special needs, and they're using a software and find bugs or things they would need to have improved, that they can provide bug reports, feature requests, and in the best case, that they themselves can test it and provide quality controls. For this approach, for developers and users, there are different examples. Often, people with disabilities, even more than like a normal person, do not have the knowledge that there is even the possibility to do a bug report. And then in the next step, even if they know it, often the tool used to file bug reports is not accessible itself. More importantly, we found in our project that for existing projects, the treatment of such accessibility bugs is working on a very different level. And the question is, when the prioritization of such bugs is happening, a lot of communities have started to put special priority on these things and also introduced things like accessibility tags. But sometimes these bugs have a bad reputation. They are seen as complicated and not very thankful for implementation, and that they can cause new problems down the river. So you may be the wrong people listening for this, but I find it very important that it's good when disabled people are involved, but that's not enough itself.
Then, of course, there is the call for legal action and new and legislation. Laws can, of course, only be a framework. And in Germany, we have several laws which concern the Very Free Information Technology Regulation, the German Social Code, especially number 9, which is important for work, the General Equal Treatment Act in Germany, and the Americans with Disability Acts, ADA. And we can debate about the quality of these laws, and that would be an own presentation itself. But we have two big problems here. Firstly, there is very little application. So if you have a problem which is touched upon by one of these laws, especially the BTIV, we have very little ways of getting your right implemented. I tried it once and it was very, very much a disappointment. And if we're looking at if we look at the German Social Code and its implementation, especially regarding work, there is one body which has much power, which would be the union or the representation of disabled. But they are so occupied that even, well, they might be lacking the skills, but they are so occupied that they can't also take care of the accessibility of digital systems. But I think the biggest problem we're facing is the BIDV, the Barrier-Free Information Technology Regulation, which forwards to the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, the WCAG, and the State of the Art of Technology, which does not exist. There, unfortunately, there is no consent about a standard towards accessibility and low barriers. There's the WCAG, who somehow is connected to this topic, has worked about on it, but that explicitly only relates to web content and websites. There are other standards like the ISO 9241171, this ISO family 9241 is about software ergonomics and about the ergonomics of IT systems, and is a certain accessibility standards. It's a very reasonable thing, because here we don't think come from thinking from the various disabilities, but rather from the usability itself. Google is pushed here because, well, as an example of an implicit standard, because Google has introduced at some time that websites which are accessible are ranked higher in the searches. So this has forwarded accessibility. You can find this good, you can find this bad, but this is only an example I'm making here for an implicit standard. The more dominant problem I'm facing here, from my point of view, is something I only noticed coming up recently, is that there is no state of the art. So the one or two might remember that there was a comparable story some years ago about security, safety in general. It took time to develop sort of a state of the art over time, and this standard is always debated again and again. But somebody who knows the way around the topic knows what it's about. But for accessibility, that simply does not exist. And this is a huge problem. So that's why I would prefer it. I would prefer it if, especially with regards to free and open source software, we would be able to reach a higher usability and accessibility, and through this achieve higher participation in processes and projects, and achieve a better access to what software. There are very different ways. There are some communities which put a high priority on accessibility bugs. There is one community related to screen reader NVDR, not to confuse with NVIDIA, which is a screen reader for Windows, but which is open source. And the members of this community are mostly made up by blind people, which is great. But still, in this case, it is urgently needed. Which urgently needed technology. But it's not a standard tool. So what I'm trying to say is that the integration of people with disabilities into communities works very, very differently. It's not easy. And what else is not that easy, as I had to learn, is that the usability of open source software and free software projects, but usability is the groundwork of accessibility. You wouldn't be able to achieve proper accessibility. You don't have any chance to reach accessibility if the usability is not really thought through. So my question, which I've been asking myself for quite some time, is that if it would be possible with the growing consciousness about accessibility, I'm very happy to see so many people sitting here, because I've been doing these presentations for years and talking about this issue for years, and I've been talking in front of 3 or 5 people, but more and more people are coming, and that's great to see. But still, from my point of view, we need a community-based approach, either within the projects or even on top, connecting all the projects to bring some move and bring some action, and maybe only informing, and then later on having an informal and later on codified situation. And with this, I want to close. You can see here my possible approaches: individual, sensitizing and building singular networks, direct with bug supports, testing, creating laws, and technical, creating standards, even informal standards, as well as building up a community for the processes. We have 10 minutes, even more time left for questions from the audience. Are there any questions? Well, the request was to bring in own recommendations, so if you have any, please do. Are there any questions from the internet? Yes, we've got one question from the internet.
Der Signal Angel, bitte?
Kein Signal Angel, sondern der Soundkollege hier. Ich möchte erstmal ganz herzlich bedanken.
It's a Sound Angel speaking. Very, very. Thank you so, so much. You're talking from the depths of my heart. What you just did here, that so many people connect this, have the same problem. My father, I'm living with my father who's blind, and he's in need of caretaking. And every day we are stumbling and struggling with the problems, how problems are taken care of people, of accessible tools like audioscription with television. I'm in conflict with a producer who is not aware of the problem. So the tools of a TV, there's no way for a TV menu to work. And the person behind us doesn't even know how to, what it's good for. So the question is, can you maybe share experiences how working with these
ansonsten würde ich noch mal mich ganz herzlich bedanken.
With these developers is on the product side, and thank you so much. It really touched me.
Also tatsächlich hatte ich das vergessen zu erwähnen. Ich nenne da.
So I forgot to talk about this. I like to talk about my washing machine as an example. I think the usability of this touchpad is horrible, even though I am sighted, it's just not very reactive. And to this, I think the only thing right now that we can do as a normal consumer is to complain. Be friendly. I mean, you can also show your rage sometimes, but it's not helpful. So we don't get around this right now, and we can only hope that eventually there will be change. We are trying it with education over the individual approach, but honestly, I don't really know more to this side now.
Thank you. But in the back, I can see, is it a connect question or new question? Okay, in front, we've got a new question. Thank you so much for this presentation and the perspectives you offered. It's super interesting to see it from this point of view. No question, but a recommendation, an idea. how to approach the problem of video conferences. Normal video conference tools is used for people who are hearing, and for translating, you could use a second video conference tool on a second screen, which is made specifically for good video transmission, and so you wouldn't have the problem that the picture of the dolmetsching translating person is disturbing the other conference. That is how I would solve it. Of course, it's annoying to have a second tool, but might be the most practical solution.
Yes, this is actually what we do, and we've been doing it for a long time because there are no other ways, but this creates new problems. But thanks for the tip.
And we've got one question at the back. Yeah, the internet. Oh, yes, the internet. So the internet asks this Zoom example. Here, you as a developer, you're often in front of the huge question how to include all these different needs. How can I start to not overlook anything of the different needs of people with disabilities when developing new software? Do you have any tips?
Well, the standard advice is, and I know this is difficult, to begin with a serious requirements analysis that includes disabled people. I know this is difficult. Many people often then say, oh, I don't know any, especially not with multiple disabilities, but this is getting better. There are more and more commercial providers in different countries, countries in Germany, I guess, of groups of people with disabilities that are tackling these topics and are available as experts. So now, talking about testing, there are platforms that do like small testing requests. So just you really just have to ask disabled people these questions and let them test it to refine your requirements.
Thank you. Here in front, one person and then the other one following. Hi. Yeah, thank you so much for the presentation. Thank you a lot. My question is towards a similar direction. If I think as a software developer, for which kind of people can I make it accessible, digital accessible? Well, there is no full accessibility. I can try to lower the barriers as much as possible. And I only have limited resources, especially in the open source community. It's open project. So you're very glad if people would do anything at all and try to make the efforts as little as possible. So what I'm trying to say is there sort of a list where you can see which disabilities are very frequent so that I can use a certain effort to make my software, my tool as accessible as possible?
One approach that I don't like as much, there are statistics, how many people are affected, especially in professional life, or if you can better define like what your users are, you can find statistics which disabilities are the most common. That's possible, but second thing, more practical, there is a federal agency for accessibility, and they have provided personas of, typical, or at least claimed to be typical, people with disabilities, and this can help if you really don't know much yet. But I would like to promote a fundamentally different view of accessibility. I think it's not good to start thinking from each individual disability, but look at usability in general. If you look at Apple products, where usability is in the gene of everything, this is actually really good with accessibility as well, and people who can afford it with disabilities like to use it. And here you can see thinking from usability first really helps the process. So the problem that you communicate is one that many people have. There's just not the one way, the state of the art, how to do this, how to find orientation. So that's what I'm trying to communicate. There are statistics, but it's, I might not recommend using it for this problem. This also has to do stuff with age and probably not really helpful for your problem. So if you're looking for something, look at these personas.
Yeah, we've got another person up here with another question. Could you have a sentence? Thank you for your presentation. And please use the mic, put it closer to your mouth. Thank you. So as a usability engineer and UX designer, I'm interested to understand how I can engage in the open source community.
I would say it depends which community you would like to participate in. And I think you will actually be accepted really well.
Okay, wir haben noch
okay, we've got one last question. Somewhere over. I'm sorry. This is closer.
Oh, Moment, Entschuldigung. Da brauche ich die Dolmetscherin Mikrofon. Genau. Ich wollte einfach mal.
I wanted to ask. I was just seated here. I was interested. Okay. I work at a school for deaf children, and I'm teaching informatics. And I saw that when they're looking at homepages, at my school, for example, when we look at homepages, we always have the impression that the first step is always to get the feedback of users. So the first step is to go and to see what is the feedback of the individual people. So the users, especially the students, can learn themselves how homepages are constructed, and B, how to give the feedback for the things they need. And it's important to give this feedback, and I want to connect to the questions that you just asked. Give feedback. So if you want to do something, just please tell. We've got so many possibilities at our school to test, especially our students, want to activate our students for testing. And we have the Biber competition, which is informatics competition in Germany, where the students... it's an online competition for students in the topic, in the subject informatics, computer science, and where they can grow their competences and their knowledge on computer science. And there they can also gain experience on how to interact with homepages and provide feedback of the critics for the homepage. And for me, this was very, very difficult. Weird to see her being voiced while I'm signing, and it's a bit weird, that's why I had to interrupt. And I come from a different federal state, that's why also I sound a bit different than here in Hamburg. Thank you. That was great. And thank you. Thank you.